Hey, everybody, what is the National School Board Association of America doing demanding the military police go to school boards? Well, we break that story on this program. And we also talk more about Davos and how it impacts your life. Email me directly, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Support the Charlie Kirk Show at charliekirk.com/support. Get involved with Turning Point USA today at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Start a high school or college chapter today. And also give a gift of any amount at tpusa.com to get your free copy right now of The Conservative Response to the Great Reset. That's tpusa.com. tpusa.com. Check it out. Give a gift of any amount. Support Turning Point USA and get something in return, tpusa.com. You can email me directly, freedom@charliekirk.com, or support The Charlie Kirk Show at charliekirk.com/support. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage. For personalized loan services you can count on, go to andrewandtodd.com, the wonderful andrewandtodd.com. The National School Board Association of America made headlines last year where they colluded with the Attorney General of the United States to try and compel state-based intervention because there were parents showing up at school board meetings that they didn't like. But now new revelations are showing just to the extent the National School Board Association has disgust and disdain for parents. FoxNews.com, early demands from the National School Board Association to the White House include calls for the deployment of the Army National Guard and the military police to monitor school board meetings. According to an early draft letter the organization Independent Review released last Friday. Okay, so I want to know the person or the people that even in what realm of comprehension do they think that the military police, put differently, they wanted to turn school boards into tribunals. That is not an exaggeration. You do not bring the military police unless you're trying to recreate some form of a tribunal. And they were so worried about parents showing up to school board meetings that they wanted the National Guard to come in with Humvees and M16s and full body armor. How many people died at school board meetings in the last year? How many people were hospitalized? I think there was a scuffle or two of somebody that got in a fight, but that happens at football games. That happens at basketball games. Why wouldn't this be just like a local law enforcement issue if it was such a big issue, which it wasn't? You see, this all is around the topic of Memogate. Remember the now famous memo sent by the craven Attorney General, Merrick Garland, whose son-in-law, by the way, is very personally invested in critical race theory curriculum. And this memo, which was done probably illegally by the National School Board Association in conjunction with the Attorney General, they said, hey, the National School Board Association hates parents so much. They said, you know what we need? We need the military police. The military police. I want you to think about it. The military police, they kind of operate under their own rules. They wanted martial law? It is not an exaggeration to say that the National School Board Association of America was asking the Attorney General of the United States to declare martial law because parents started to show up at school board meetings and say things they didn't like. Imagine the fragility it takes. Now, there was that book by the con artist Robin DiAngelo called White Fragility. Let's just call this woke fragility. Imagine how fragile of a person you must be, how weak to say, bring in the tanks. You know what we need? Snipers. Why? because there are a bunch of moms that come and complain that our schools aren't doing well. The tanks, roll them in. Praise God we still have some semblance of a constitution that prevents this stuff from actually happening. But what is the significance of this? This, you know, the way that the media will talk it down is like, oh, this was just a draft of a letter. It never came. Well, yet, thankfully, the military police were not deployed to school board meetings in District 214 in the suburbs of Chicago. Thankfully, at Scottsdale Unified School District, when I went to go speak against that creep Jan Michael Greenberg, there weren't tanks waiting in the parking lot and a bunch of guys with military police bands. Thankfully, that didn't happen. But what does it show? The National School Board Association of America, this wasn't some intern. There's someone at the top levels of the NSBA that went to college and has power, and they were fantasizing and lobbying. So the organization that oversees all the other school boards in the country, like the mothership of school board organizations, their solution for people complaining about the poor condition of our schools and graphic sex education is the military. In contrast to the final version, the draft of the NSBA says, quote, we ask that the Army, National Guard, and its military, this is a quote, we ask that the Army, National Guard, and its military police be deployed to certain school districts and related events where students and school personnel have been subjected to threats and acts and threats of violence. And you actually look at the specifics, there are almost no threats of violence, almost very little, even less acts of violence. We get threats of violence all the time at Turning Point USA. We just had someone email us the other day, said they're going to send a pipe bomb to our office. Like, very real stuff. I'm not trying to lobby the United States government to go send martial law because that's the case. The NSBA has originally sent a letter to President Biden in September 2021 that asked for parents protesting at school board meetings to be federally monitored, saying school board officials were facing threats and violence at meetings. Again, how is that not a, if that's happening, which was happening so insignificantly, why was that not a local law enforcement issue? Do we not have police or sheriff, or at the very most like extreme measure, you don't have a state-based attorney general that can look into that? On October 4th, Merrick Garland issued a memorandum instructing the FBI to collaborate with state and local leaders to address threats against school board administrators, board members, teachers, and staffs. When Republicans take back the House in November, and it looks like they will, this must be priority number one for them. That they must look into Memogate, they must put Merrick Garland on the stand, and don't forget about the whistleblower that came forward just a couple days ago. The whistleblower email refuted what Garland said on the FBI, and it reinforced that threat tags were used against parents. We had the great Jim Jordan talk about this last week. The FBI is actively treating American parents like they're members of ISIS. The FBI is currently treating American parents like they are members of the Mexican drug cartel. In fact, members of the Mexican drug cartel get a far easier pass. And how does Antifa get treated by our law enforcement? Well, an Antifa shooter was sentenced to 120 days in jail and 5 years of probation after shooting at a BLM riot. Very low sentence. Not being taken seriously at all. Gets almost no prison time on attempted manslaughter conviction, shooting errantly into the crowd. And yet, the focus of our national law enforcement is not the fact that fentanyl is pouring into our communities. Our borders remain wide open. No, this is the mark of the last gasp of a dying tyrannical regime. When a regime is about to fall, it messes up its priorities. When a regime is on its way down, it starts grabbing on to things that are seemingly irrelevant. The National School Board Association's early draft also called parents speaking out, quote, they are plotters who are targeting schools and educators. Don't you love that kind of language they use? They said an increasing number of public school officials are facing physical threats because of propaganda trying to push the inclusion of critical race theory within classroom instruction and curriculum. The military police and the Army National Guard. What does that tell you about the people that are educating your kids? What does that tell you about the people at the top levels of education in America and the educational cartel? What does that tell you about them? That they are willing to try to bring in the tanks, the snipers, and the drones because you, the parent, might have a disagreement with how your kid is being educated. But I want to kind of close the part here of kind of education, because there's a couple other pieces of tape that have surfaced that I think have a lot of relevancy right now. So why is it that these schools have kind of become hotbeds for moms and dads showing up to such a great extent where the National School Board Association wants to send in the Marines? They want the military police and the National Guard to go to school board meetings. Well, some of it is because of the nonsense that is being taught in our schools. And this is just another one of these examples. It's a counselor at a school board meeting, talks about at a Texas school district training, teachers were told not to out students to their parents and to try to prevent parents from actually learning what's happening in the schools, that parents should not be included. That is the policy of this school board. But basically, this is a counselor who is at the school board meeting and talks about how teachers are told not to out students. Here's another clip I want to play, which is Bill Maher coming out and talking about, and by the way, Bill Maher is very socially liberal. I am not socially liberal, but Bill Maher is. I think Bill Maher is very clever and can be very funny. Bill Maher talks about the spike in kids identifying as transgender. And Bill Maher commits a thought crime, says, wait a second, are all these kids actually transgender? Or is there some trendiness going on? Now, you're not allowed to say this. Bill Maher is now challenging the idea that why is this the gayest generation in history? Bill Maher is asking a very simple question, as is all of this actually how people are? Or is some of this actually encouraging and bringing people to a lifestyle that they otherwise would not be without other pressure? Play cut 7.
We can't admit that in certain enclaves there is some level of trendiness to the idea of being anything other than straight, then this is not a serious science-based discussion. It's a blow being struck in the culture wars using children as cannon fodder.
That if there's not some trendiness to this, it's not a serious science-based discussion. And Bill Maher is exactly right. Which is, are there some kids that are being, let's just say, they gravitate towards the transgender lifestyle because it seems to be trendier or cool? Now, for the media, they lose their minds when you say this. However, if you had talked to any parent, for example, when we opened up our email inbox to parents across the country, I say, how many kids in your kids' class are gay? And they say, at least 40%, at least half are identifying as gay because it is the cool thing. And it's now become from something, it's been inverted from something that was once taboo, then to neutral and accepted, to now something that is glorified and platformed, and where it's almost something people want to be. And that the numbers show that, by the way. Hello, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. Super important announcement. Look, when you swipe your credit card, you're funding liberal causes. Dozens and dozens of times a month. Every time you swipe that card, you might as well do BLM, LGBT, Clinton Foundation. But now there's a choice. I got to know these guys. I vetted them, checked out the technology. I'm a partner with them. I'm all in. It's called Coin, C-O-I-G-N. It's a new credit card built for conservatives. I'm moving all my credit card activity under Coin. And the Coin credit card is an unlimited cashback Visa credit card that is just like every other credit card you've ever owned, with one huge exception. Every time you use the Coin card, they contribute to conservative charities that support your values. I'm using it and you should too. Remember, we have to create a parallel economy, and this is a great new option. Act now. Go to coign.com right now to sign up to get a conservative Coin credit card. That's coign.com. Join Coin and let's start spending right.
Okay, let's start with this one. Cut 6. Biden immediately goes into vaccines, what might be available for monkeypox. Yeah, because the last vaccine worked so well. And he says everybody should be concerned. Is that the case? Should everybody be concerned about monkeypox? Play cut 6.
Mr. President, quick question. What have your health advisors told you your level of concern should be about monkeypox in the cases that are in the United States and around the world?
Well, they haven't told me the level of exposure yet, but it is something that everybody should be concerned about. We're working on it hard to figure out what we do and what vaccine, if any, may be available for. But it is a concern in the sense that if it were to spread, it's consequential.
All right, so I'm going to stop dancing around the topic. I've tried to kind of allude to this in the last week. Okay. You do not have to be concerned unless you have an overly promiscuous lifestyle. Okay? Thankfully, a foreign news organization, the Sydney Morning Herald, actually tells the truth. Quote, sexual form of monkeypox blamed for global spread of virus. Now, Joe Biden doesn't say that. He doesn't say how human-to-human transmission happens. It doesn't happen through, like, how COVID, which is highly contagious. No, it says that human-to-human transmission is occurring among people in close physical contact with cases who are symptomatic. And by the way, the cases are actually pretty mild. It's an infectious disease that is usually mild and is endemic in parts of West and Central Africa. And so this is I don't want to say it's an STD, but it's awfully close. This is the WHO official, by the way, who said this. Why is Biden not saying, why is Biden saying everyone should be concerned? Oh, it makes him more powerful. That's why. Quote, what seems to be happening now is that it has gotten to the population as a sexual form, as a genital form, and is being spread as sexually transmitted infections, which has amplified its transmission around the world. I wonder, you know, it's really interesting. This is just kind of a more kind of provocative question. But whatever, let's do it. So Biden and Fauci were very quick to tell people to change their livelihoods based on COVID, which had a very low death rate. You must mask. You must stay at home. Will Biden and Fauci tell people to stop having sex promiscuously to try to prevent from monkeypox? I'm just asking. Will they do that? I don't know. Or maybe that's a piety that they're not allowed to pass. Just asking. I'm so tired of the way they're covering this, okay? They're covering this in a way that is unnecessarily fear-mongering people. Now, remember, strip clubs stayed open during the lockdown. Now, there is a clip, and I have trouble finding it. The great Michael Anton made this point, which was that even when Fauci was asked about Tinder hookups when it came to COVID, he knew that was a central piety he could not pass. Because if all of a sudden you tell people that young people can no longer have their hookups, you're going to have a revolt on your hands. According to thehill.com, sexual raves. Is that right? Okay. Sex at two European raves said to cause spread of monkeypox. Just so you understand what we're dealing with here. Now, I'm not passing any judgment if you have a super promiscuous lifestyle. That's between you and God. However, you should know your risk tolerance. You should know your kind of risk ability here or what your risk factor is. Quote, thehill.com, it's very possible that there was somebody who got infected, developed, I don't even want to say this, certain things on their genitals, hands or somewhere else, and then spread it to others when there was sexual or close physical conduct. And there were these other international events that seeded the outbreak around the world into the United States and other European countries. So you're not going to get it from sitting somebody, you know, next to them on a plane. And here's the great contradiction and the great irony. It's that if you were the person that was wearing three masks while you were showering, you probably should not be having, let's just say, not having sex with everybody at a rave. How about that? Okay? Not having widespread intercourse all the time. You can make your own decisions, but know what you're dealing with here. Like, this is not going to be something where just like some 85-year-old in a nursing home is all of a sudden going to get monkeypox just because someone walks into the room. That's not the way this is actually being spread. Why is Biden not telling the truth about it? Everybody should be concerned. Really, Joe Biden? Is everyone going to orgies? Maybe that's his view of the world. I don't know. But no, not everyone should be concerned. That's not what the data is showing us, actually. He's fear-mongering intentionally for the midterms. Biden said very clearly that everybody should be concerned about this. Everyone should be upset about it. Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. This is the deeper point, right? So this was cut 26. This is back in April of 2020 in the midst of the pandemic where schools were closed, churches were closed. There was no Easter. There was no Pentecost Sunday. They canceled all of it. But when Fauci was asked about Tinder or Grindr intimate hookups, all of a sudden Anthony Fauci became an ambassador of individual choice, because he knew that if he told people to stop having like promiscuous lifestyle choices, then he would have a real revolt on their hands. You don't want to deal with that. He needed to make sure that young people, that he didn't cross that line. Fauci even knew that. Play cut 26.
If you're swiping on a dating app like Tinder or Bumble or Grindr and you match with someone and you just kind of like, maybe it's fine if this one stranger comes over. What do you say to that person?
You know, everybody has their own tolerance for risks, and it depends on the level of the interaction that you want to have. If you're looking for a friend, sit in a room, put a mask on, and, you know, chat a bit. If you want to go a little bit more intimate, well, then that's your choice regarding a risk.
Oh, that's your choice. How many people knew that clip existed? Why wasn't it your choice when you had vaccines? Why wasn't it your choice when you had school opening or closures? Why wasn't it your choice based on whether restaurants were open? No, it was just your choice on the one thing you are not allowed to criticize, which is, I guess you could call it Grindr, Tinder, Bumble culture, whatever. You find the contradiction that if they actually wanted to stop the spread of monkeypox, hookup culture, thank you, Connor, then this is actually what they would do. A new study co-authored by Rose McDermott, David and Miranda Fisher, University Professor of International Relations at Brown University's Watson Institute, said this, quote, "The trio suggests that social conservatives tend to be happy with one or two sexual partners, while social liberals tend to be more adventurous, trying many different types of sex with different people, yet they remain less satisfied in their sex life." I wonder why. Hookup culture actually makes you super miserable. Now, again, I'm not trying to be like morally sanctimonious here. I just find it interesting about how if they actually wanted to stop the spread of monkeypox, why wouldn't Fauci and Biden actually tell the truth about how monkeypox itself was actually being spread? They need an emergency. Now, if Fauci was like, hey, you have your own risk tolerance when it comes to monkeypox, or Joe Biden said that, well, then remember, emergencies create EUAs, emergency use authorizations, and if there is no choice, I mean, remember, Fauci said very clearly that hookup culture was okay in the midst, at the high point of the virus, COVID. Well, maybe because there's a hierarchy to what actually matters to the left. And that's a line you do not cross no matter what happens. No emergency, no crisis, no EUA, no great reset. Instead of our leaders saying, hey, maybe you should find one partner and settle down with that person and be loyal to that partner and be monogamous to them, instead of trying to at least encourage that and say that is a standard that we should aim for, you kind of have a very interesting tension here because of how this virus is spread. You have the central need for that type of activity, hookup culture, which binds a lot of the left-wing activist groups together, which is the beginning stages of Aldous Huxley's Brave New World. But then you have biomedical fascism. Those two things are kind of at odds with one another. They cannot coexist. But they're going to intentionally avoid the tension. Now, will Biden use monkeypox to mess around with the midterms? We'll see. Hello, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. Court packing is the real danger to our country. Make no mistake, court packing is a coup. And the usual suspects, Biden, Pelosi, Schumer, are working overtime on new radical plans to pack the Supreme Court. Look, if we do not stop them from installing four more justices, they can rig the system in their favor. We know it will be catastrophic for our court, our country, and the American way of life. We cannot let that happen, not on our watch. That's why we need you to join us. We're gathering a coalition of 1 million patriots to say no to court packing, no to the liberal agenda, and no to the Supreme Court coup. Franklin Graham, former U.S. Attorney General Ed Meese, Dr. James Dobson, the Family Policy Alliance, so many others, and 400,000 people like you are all on board. Please sign your name now. Go to supremecoup.com, that's COUP.com, to sign First Liberty's letter. That's supremecoup.com.
Do it right now. My friend Kelly Shackelford runs this great group, SupremeCoup.com. So let me just give some advice to anyone running for office at any level of government. Don't insult the place you're trying to represent. It's just a bad idea. So when you try to run for office, usually you try to play into the place you're running. Like, hey, I'm running for Senate in Texas. I'm going to wear a Dallas Cowboys hat. Or I'm running for Congress in Oklahoma. I'm going to wear an Oklahoma Sooner hat. And you just kind of play into it, right? And people who vote for you, they also do not want you to believe that you hate the place you're trying to represent. Deep down, I know this is a shock to most liberals, but deep down, people actually want to love where they're from. This is one of the cases for prudent nationalism, is that nationalism actually creates a happier, more generous, more thankful people. When you are proud of where you are from, where you are proud where you wake up every single day, where you feel connected, you feel a connective tissue to your fellow countrymen, crime goes down, family birth rates go up, family formation increases, church attendance increases, charity increases. So you want to love where you are from. That is part of the human condition. It's natural to have these kind of interstate rivalries as well of people that are from Arkansas that prefer to live there versus Missouri. That's very healthy, by the way. And I love it. I love when people are proud of where they are from. I'm from Chicago, and I love what Chicago used to be. I was just watching The Last Dance, which is probably one of the greatest documentaries ever made, and definitely the greatest sports documentary ever made. Period. End of story. Nothing comes even close. And it's especially sweet for me because I just love the Chicago Bulls. I love Chicago. I love what it used to be. And I love Michael Jordan. And I grew up kind of right past that era. I don't remember watching any of it. I was 4, 5, 6 years old. But the city of Chicago was immensely blessed by the 90s Bulls, of just the attention it drew and the kinetic energy. So I love that. I feel an attachment to that. And that's healthy and it's good. Now, Stacey Abrams, on the other hand, she's trying a very new political strategy. She's trying a political strategy where she's telling people you actually live in a hellhole. It's bold. Let's see if it works out. Play cut one.
I'm ready to tell you because I know that we have to have a conversation about who we are in this state and what we want for each other and from each other. I am tired of hearing about being the best state in the country to do business when we are the worst state in the country to live.
She said it's the worst state in the country to live. By the way, elect me so I could be governor of the worst state in the country to live in. We'll see how that works out. This was kind of the Kamala Harris line, right? Back when she was running for president back in 2019 and 20, where she said, America is racist and America's colonialistic and America is awful and America is bigoted. So elect me to be the president of America. Like, why would you want to be president of a place like that? It sounds terrible. It sounds awful. Like, why would you even bother? It's terrible. Now, what's incredible is how the audience reacted. Democrats tend to not like where they are. They are unhappier people by definition. This is why they want to destroy everything, because deep down, a lot of them, not all of them, have unaddressed deep psychological problems. They're unhappy in a lot of different ways. I'm not saying that as a generalization. It is true, though. Democrats are less happy. They're less generous. They're less charitable. They're less thankful than conservatives. Now, are there unhappy conservatives? Of course there are. Are there happy liberals? I think. I haven't met many of them, but I'm sure they're out there somewhere, right? But as a general rule, if you are more thankful, then you want to conserve what you already have. That's what a conservative is. If you are unhappy, then you would want to revolutionize or liberate the society, which is the root of what liberalism would be. And so Stacey Abrams basically saying, all right, everybody, we live in hell, so elect me. We got Big Stace right here, by the way, on the live stream. She never leaves. I know what you're thinking. How many ballots can she fit under that dress? I know what you're thinking. Pantsuit. Cape. I'm sorry, it's a cape.
The real question is, was Stacy one of the 2,000 mules? That's the real question. So she's going to try to become governor by telling people, I hate this place. Good luck. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com, or support the Charlie Kirk Show at charliekirk.com/support. Thank you so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.